I'm going to read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, from verse 25. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. And do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it, will be set apart for destruction. You must utterly abhor it, and you must detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Okay. The context here is Israel has moved through the desert. They have crossed the Jordan River, and they are entering the promised land to take possession of that which God promised them. A couple of interesting things to note. Even though God promised them Canaan, God said it will be yours. God gave 400 years earlier a prophecy to Abraham that his descendants will take possession of that land. When it came time for them to take possession of the land, God said to them, there it is, go fight for it. That's not what you would expect, is it? That's not what most Christians expect. And many times I hear Christians complaining that it is so difficult to get to what God promised them. Well, the Israelites spent 40 years in the desert to get to the promised land. That wasn't God's fault. That had to do with their attitude. If your attitude is wrong, you get stuck. They got stuck for 40 years, and in the end, a whole bunch of them died. In fact, the Bible says everybody 19 years and under would enter the land. Everybody 20 years and over would perish. Now, they fought a whole bunch of people, and they are slowly but surely taking possession of the promised land. Now they're encountering something interesting. There are already houses. When you conquer a city, you don't have to rebuild the city. You take possession of the city. In other words, if we can compare it to Springs, let's say there is a war that breaks out in Springs today and we come and we are the victors, then all these houses that you see around us is going to be open for the taking. The thing is, a house is not just four walls. A house has things inside. And some of the things inside, according to God, can sometimes not be good for you. In fact, the Bible says there are certain things that could be kept in a home that God, he puts it this way, he says, that is detestable to the Lord. And you must have nothing to do with it. You must detest it and you must abhor it because it is a detestable thing to the Lord and you must destroy it. Okay. Why am I talking about this? Where does this come from? Well, you know what? We've had a couple of people here who have had some experiences with this kind of thing, and God has been helping them, and God has been changing their circumstances because of their obedience to this scripture. And the last time I preached this was probably about 5 years ago when we started in Gedult. And it's time for us to talk because we've got a lot of new people that have never heard this type of thing and don't understand how this stuff works. Okay, let's get the first thing out of the way. We are not just flesh and blood, we are spirit as well. Okay? The Bible says we have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have a body. For those of you that don't understand the difference, the body is what I can touch, what I can feel. The soul is the personality and what communicates with me. It's what makes you, you. And then we have the spirit, which gives life to both body and soul. The spirit is what will endure forever. The spirit can never die. Once the body is used up, the spirit will go to be with God. All right. Now, seeing as we are not just body, seeing as we are not just flesh and blood, but we are body and soul and spirit, the three of them are intertwined and they are interlinked. What touches the one affects the other. What affects the one touches the other. Sometimes spiritual things affect our spirit. It scratches our spirit, it irritates our spirit, it can make our spirit sick, and we are going to see the manifestation thereof in our body. there is a very good possibility that at least some people in this world that walk around with a lot of sickness and infirmity and problems, sometimes even sleeplessness, insomnia, etc., etc., it has to do with something that is affecting their spirit in the confines of the place that they live. The Bible makes it very clear that certain things are detestable to God, and if you bring it into your house, it will destroy you. Now, we must understand something. Even though this is written in the Old Testament, there is nothing in the New Testament that tells us that that has been revoked somehow through Jesus' victory on the cross. If it was bad for the Israelites, if it was bad for Peter, James, and John, if it was bad for Samson and for Moses, if it was bad for David and Saul and whoever, it is still bad for you today. Now, the things that God was talking about here, let's look at the people that lived in the land of Canaan. They worshipped idols. They worshipped false gods. I'm actually going to just show you something. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. If we look at another scripture, and I'm going to show you that quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 18, just to show you what these people were involved in, because that will give you a better understanding of the rubbish that they had in their houses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 9 gives us an idea of what the Canaanites were exposed to. The people living in the land, this was what they used to practice. Deuteronomy 18 verse 9, God speaking again to the Israelites, giving them good instruction that if they were to be obedient and follow it, they would be blessed in the promised land. When you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, which is Canaan, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of those nations. Again, we get the word detestable. In other words, God says, I hate what these people are doing. In the other scripture, he said, I hate the things that these people have around them. Now he says, I hate what they are doing. What is it that they are doing? Do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of those nations there. Let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices their son or their daughter in the fire. Okay, for us, this is like a really big wow thing because we can't, most of us, in fact, can't even comprehend doing something like that. But what these people would do, there were two gods that they served, Baal and Molech. And Baal is the god of fire, the god of smoke. And in order to appease him, for they believed that he would bless their crops and he would bless their marriages and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that, they had to bring smoke offerings to him, burnt offerings to him. And they used to actually take newborn babies, place them on an altar, set them on fire, and sacrifice the child to a false god. God hates this. Now let's look at the rest of it. Let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire, or who practices divination or sorcery. Okay, even though I sincerely doubt that anybody in this room would come to the place that they would sacrifice their son or their daughter in the fire, I would venture to say that probably half this room has messed around with some form of divination or sorcery. But God sees that in exactly the same light as taking your son or your daughter and setting them on fire on an altar to a false god. Because it is seen in the same detestable way as taking your child and sacrificing them in the fire. He says there, let no one be found amongst you who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, who engages in witchcraft, who casts spells, who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. To me, there are a couple of different categories here. The one category is to try and know something about the future. All right, whether it is fortune-telling, tarot card reading, reading the stars, opening up an animal to read its entrails, it is to try and gain knowledge outside of the realm of God. People still do that today. People still go to fortune-tellers. Some people can't wait to get the local U magazine or the Star newspaper to go to see what their star sign is up to this week. God says, that is detestable. And God says, if you mess around with these things, that you will be destroyed, just like the Canaanites were destroyed. So there is a category in there that includes wanting to know things outside of the realm of God. He talks there about consulting the dead or being a medium or a spiritist. You know, sometimes we have this thing, are we going to have a fun night, or let's just try and mess around a bit. We sit in a circle and we have a glass there and we ask questions, yes or no, and then the glass is going to move. We call it glassy. People play with Ouija boards. People play something called book and key. You put a key in the book, you ask questions, and then the key turns around in the book and it tells you a yes or a no. There are many, many, many different variations of the same thing. But what it comes down to is trying to find supernatural knowledge outside of the parameters of God's kingdom. If you go to a fortune teller, you've gone onto Satan's kingdom. If you go to a spiritist or a medium is somebody who channels the spirits of the departed through them. In other words, you want to make contact with your grandmother that passed away 20 years ago. You go and see Sophie. She sits there. She goes into a trance and she starts wada-wadaing and your grandmother is talking to you. It's not your grandmother. 90% of the time, it's not even Sophie. It's a familiar spirit that used to hang around with your grandmother that comes through her, speaks through her, and curses your life just because you're sitting there and you are exposing yourself to it. God says when you do that, you will be destroyed. Destruction will come into your life. Then we have another category. It's called witchcraft. What makes witchcraft different is because through spiritism and divination and all of that and fortune telling, we're trying to get information. Through witchcraft, we are trying to control a situation or a person. People use witchcraft to get something that they feel they can't get any other way. Sometimes a person who wants somebody else to fall in love with them or to have that person, they will go to somebody that will mix up a potion or give some powders or give some letter that has to be burnt and the ashes sprinkled or something, you know, ridiculous stuff, that is then going to give that person eyes for only you. Well, this reminds me. I know that we're talking about serious stuff, but man, I laughed. I was listening to Highfield Stereo the one morning. And I was dropping my kids off at school and Wacky Simpson had this clown, is the only way I can describe him, who phoned in and he heard that there was this hypnotist that could hypnotize anybody to fall in love with anybody almost immediately. Boom. And so he phones in and he says, he's a male and he wants a boyfriend. You know, he's a bit skiff. And he's phoning in and he tells Wacky that this and this and this is the oak that he wants must fall for him. And it's very important this can't fail because he can't live without this person. And so, of course, now Wacky is going to make some nonsense. He gets the phone number from the guy, and then he apparently phones the wrong number. And then he does the hocus-pocus thing, and then the other guy on the other end of the line falls for Oyani or Stoffel or whatever his name was. And then you hear Stoffel in the back of the, like, oh, but you dialed the wrong number. Oh, no, that's not the person that I want. No, I can't. And then Wacky says, oh, but I'm sorry. Now this person is, I've done it already and I can't reverse it. And then you hear the other guy like, oh, I love you. I love, no, don't say that. No, I don't love you. No, I'm, you're not the one I want. Okay. That was just a joke. But there's people that do these things for real. There's people that go to places like that. I want this one to fall for me. I want that one to, I want more control over my boss. I need more money. I need more pay. There's a whole bunch of things that you could do. There's things that you could get yourself involved in that may or may not bring some dividends into your life. Sometimes witchcraft actually does work. I've prayed for a lot of people that were controlled by other people through witchcraft. It did work, but it destroys lives. It destroys the life of the one that you're trying to control, but ultimately it destroys your life even more because of the powers that you invoke when you use witchcraft. Now, God says that these nations were messing around with this kind of stuff. What is the power behind witchcraft? Okay, now you guys are being too technical. The simple answer is demons. The power behind witchcraft is demons and evil spirits, which some people in this world say, oh, but they can't be real. They don't exist because I can't see them. Well, you can't see God either, but he's real. So just accept it and deal with it, because the spirit world is real. God is real. Angels are real. Demons are real. And they all play some role in our life and where we are going. The more we come closer to God, the more God and his angels work in our life. The more we go with the devil stuff, the more Satan and his demons work in our life. So now, when you play around with this type of stuff, some kind of fortune telling, astrology, divination, sorcery, witchcraft, voodoo, black magic, Satanism, you know, all of that type of stuff, you start summoning demons to come into your life. And also, demons begin to attach themselves to the things that surround you. Getting back to the Israelites. They are now going to move into that house over there, which has a lot of things in the house. Taking into account that these people are very involved in satanic things. The Israelites had no way of knowing what implements in the house could have been used in some way in satanic worship or some kind of a ritual or for divination or sorcery or whatever. Now, God says to them, when you come into this land and you go and you live in a house, do not touch the silver, do not touch the gold. It is cursed. Why does God say that? Because the things that these people owned, because of who they were, because of the lifestyle that they lived, because of their hearts, and because of the things that they did, were cursed. Here's a strange thing, strange but true. Demons find it very easy to attach themselves to objects, especially metal objects. When you have something made of gold and you have something made of silver and you put a spell on it, it'll be more powerful than if you just put a spell on some piece of paper. For some reason, the metal is easier for them to conduct through or whatever. I don't know the full story. All I know is demons love to attach themselves to especially metal objects and especially jewelry. The devil loves to attach himself to jewelry. Okay. It's time for me to share with you one or two examples. Many, many years ago, I was preaching in a church, and a gentleman came to me afterwards, and he said to me, he has this strange experience that happens to him when the Holy Spirit comes into the church. Now, I don't have any problem with that, because when the Holy Spirit comes into the church, strange things tend to happen. But we must also understand that the source of the strange things that happen might not always be the Holy Spirit. That's why you need discernment. The gift of discernment is very important in the church. Otherwise, the devil has a field day. So, I asked him some questions. I said to him, okay, what is it that bothers you about this? Do you feel uncomfortable or something? And he looked at me and he was sort of hesitant. He didn't want to say yes. He didn't want to say no. He was like, maybe, you know. I said to him, well, the fact that you're here talking to me about this tells me something must bother you, because if it didn't bother you, why did you come and talk to me in the first place? I said to him, maybe we should pray and see. You know what? I can't cast the Holy Spirit out of you, but if there is some evil spirit manifesting because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure that God will help you to deal with that. He came to see me at my house. I started praying for this man, and he began to speak in this funny tongue, this funny language. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, because people speak in tongues. But the feeling that I got when I began to pray for him was that this tongue that he was talking in was attacking me. The way it spoke and the way I felt, it was like when this thing was talking, it was like it was attacking me in some way. And I just said, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. This is nonsense. And as I kept praying, this man said to me, this ring on my finger is burning me. I said, what do you mean it's burning you? He says, it's burning me. It feels like it is on fire. And he was complaining. I said to him, okay, where did you get the ring? And he said to me, well, I bought a new house and I was working in the garden. And as I was working in the garden and I was using the fork and I was, you know, just preparing the soil, the next moment I saw the shiny object, and when I picked it up, it was a ring. It looked like a very nice ring. It was a very manly ring. And I put it on, it fit, and I've been wearing it ever since. I said to him, well, you have no idea whose ring it was. No, he doesn't. you have no idea what type of a person wore this ring. No, no, he doesn't. I said, well, you see, there is a problem, because when we look at something like jewelry, it's a very personal thing. And something like a ring is something that you wear every single day. It becomes part of you. And let's say, just for example, the person that wears the ring has a lot of issues. Be it anger, frustration, bitterness, unforgiveness. Maybe they are ugly. Maybe they bring a lot of destruction into people's life. Maybe they are an alcoholic in some sense. Maybe they have brought a lot of destruction into their children's life. Who knows? As they wear that ring, the essence of who they are begins to penetrate this ring. And certain things go and sit on that ring. If I now go and I put that ring on my finger, I almost want to say to you, it is still programmed according to that person, and that starts coming into my life now. I said to the guy, take the ring off. He tried to take the ring off. He couldn't get the ring off. Now, interesting fact, he took the ring off every single day to wash his hands and to brush his teeth and, you know, whatever. And he had taken it off that morning. Yet that day, that evening, when he tried to take the ring could not come off his finger. In fact, his finger began to swell up, but massively, which is not normal. I gave him butter. I gave him sunlight liquid. I squirted some WD-40 on his hand. We tried everything we could think of to get this ring off. That ring would not budge. And then his finger started going a funny color. You know, when all the blood flow is stopping, which is again not normal, because he's been wearing that ring for quite a few years and has never had a problem before. And it's still burning him. He's complaining. I said to him, well, you know what? I've got only one more solution. I have a very big side cutter and I suggest we cut the ring off. He agreed. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to cut off the ring. When I went to cut off the ring, the spirit that was working through the ring, the spirit that was working in his life, immediately covered the hand and would not allow me to come near the ring. We had another fight to get the hand free so we could cut it off. Eventually, by the grace of God, we cut the ring off. The moment we pulled the ring off of him, a demon began to manifest in him, and I cast it out. Where did it come from? It was a familiar spirit that had attached itself to the ring that the other person had been wearing probably for many years. And when he put it on, that same spirit began to work in his life. And one of the ways that it manifested was when he was in the church and the Holy Spirit began to move, something in him started going all funny, which he kind of assigned to it must be the Holy Spirit. But something in him knew it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because he didn't have a good feeling about it. Well, strange but true, that spirit came into his life through an object that he picked up and he started wearing. Which brings me now to something that we have to talk about. Many times we are given things by people. Sometimes something comes to you as a gift. Well, we need to examine that gift. I'm not trying to tell you that you should never receive gifts from people, but I shared a testimony on Friday that I think I should share to give you an example of how this works. A lady that I've known for many years phones me. She's got lots of problems. There's all sorts of things happening. She's depressed, and she and her husband are fighting all the time, and things are just not lekker in the house. And okay, all right, I'm going to go and pray for her. I went and I prayed for her, and some things happened. Something manifested. I cast it out. There we go. A couple of weeks later, she phones me back. It went well for a while, but now it's back. I went there. I prayed with her again. We cast the demon out, whatever it was. There was peace for a short while. She phoned me again and she said, this is what's happening. On that specific day, I took somebody with me that had the gift of discerning of spirits. And when I took that person with me and the gift of discerning of spirits operated, it was revealed that there was a vase that was standing at the entrance of their doorway the main door that went into the house. And that there was a curse attached to this vase. And when I questioned, it was said that the person that gave the vase is a very, very, has a very, very evil heart towards these people. It was given as a gift, but even though it was given as a gift, this person can't stand them. So there is something attached of the person's heart towards them, to that thing. And every time she walks in and out of the house, she sort of gets covered by that thing. It brings destruction. It manifested as destruction between her and her husband. It manifested as destruction upon their finances. And it manifested as destruction in her children. They were unruly and they were very difficult to control. After a whole bunch of this way and that way and, oh, but this is my friend and, ah, eventually she broke it. Do you know what happened? The moment she broke it, something manifested and it actually came out of her. And it left. In other words, the heart of the person that gives the gift also determines the outcome of the gift in your life. Not everybody that gives you something nice actually wants nice things to happen to you. Some people will give you something nice, but in their heart, they're like, I don't like you. I can't stand you. You know, the world is full of hypocrites. And sometimes the evil in people's hearts, in a sense, transfers onto that which is perceived to be a gift that is given to another person. And it can cause untold problems in that individual's life. We must be very careful what we allow to come into our house. I'm going to share with you an example from my own life. When God began to use me spiritually, I started experiencing some amazing and wonderful things. And by the grace of God, I still experience amazing and wonderful things. At that point in time, I used to have the spirit that would come and attack me at night. The only way for me to put it across to you is I would be sleeping at night and this thing would come and sit on me and it would, in a sense, begin to oppress me. It would begin to, like, I don't even know, force me down. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. It wasn't nice. And sometimes I would actually see like a face. I would see like a vision of a face while this thing was on top of me and this thing would be laughing at me. And then in the morning, I would rebuke it, and I would fight and everything, and for a couple of days, things would go okay, and then this thing would happen to me again. And I couldn't understand this because I'm praying for people, and I'm casting out demons, but when I'm in my house, I have this funny thing happen, and I anoint the house, and I rebuke the devil, but the stuff keeps happening. The one day, I'll never forget, I'm praying for a young man in my lounge. A demon manifests in him, and it was one of the first times that I encountered a demon by the name of Leviathan. If you've ever encountered the demon, Leviathan is a very stubborn demon, and he fights back. He likes to fight, and it takes quite a while to get rid of this stupid thing. And I'm busy praying for this guy, and now I've encountered this demon. He's told me his name is Leviathan, and now we have this big fight going on. I'm trying to get the demon to leave in the name of Jesus. And this is kind of like how it went. I had this impression this demon was sort of, it was losing power, losing power, losing power. And when it's on the verge of being cast out, it looks at this painting hanging on my wall. And then it's almost like in his eyes, I can see whoo, the thing is back. Then he looks at me. I'm thinking, what the hell is this? I start praying again. Big fight, big fight, big fight. We get to the point the demon is almost coming out and then he looks at the picture and then immediately on his eyes you see this, whew, I'm back. And I couldn't understand this. This happened three times. After it happened the third time, I said to the demon, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to tell me what's happening between you and this painting because I'm not stupid. There's something here. He started laughing. It was a bit of a fight to get him to tell me, but this is what he said to me. He looked at me, he said, can't you see it? I said, see what? He says, can't you see the face in the clouds? I said, no, I don't see nothing. He got up, he walked up to the painting. He put his hands sort of like that. He made a square. And you know what? In the clouds, I saw this absolute demonic figure. And when I looked at it later, you could see that that was painted first. And then the clouds were sort of painted over it to disguise it. But when you saw it, when you recognized it, it was actually quite easy to see. Yet if you didn't know it was there, you would mainly see the clouds. And I do remember that painting came from some youngsters, if I can put it that way, that they didn't look all that kosher. They wore a lot of black. They had a lot of, their mannerisms were dark. I'm not going to curse them and say they were involved in funny things, but based on what I saw there, I have a suspicion they were involved in some very funny things. I looked at that. I realized that's the exact same face that I saw many nights when this thing sat on me and laughed at me. I said, hey, I grabbed some oil. I had a little bottle that could squirt. I squirted that painting from top to bottom with oil. I took it off the wall. I threw it out the door. I said to the demon, come, now in Jesus' name you're going. Within 2 minutes, it was gone. And so God used that situation to show me that I had something in my house that was not good for me. The heart of the person that painted it was obviously not in a good place. Why would they put that type of thing there if their heart was good? Their heart wasn't. Probably they were involved in satanic things. I say probably. I'm not saying they were. Possibly. And that was their way of propagating the rubbish that the devil wanted them to propagate. After I burnt that painting, a lot of peace came into my house. That thing was in my house to rob me of my peace and to rob me of my joy. For a lot of people, this is like, it's ridiculous. You people make a mountain out of a molehill. I can't be like that. No, my friend, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about it, and many times in people's lives, we see the exact same thing manifest and happen. I would like to call the two of you to come forward for me, please. Dion, if you don't mind. Yes, quickly get me another microphone. The reason I want them to talk is because God has been helping them in a lot of things, and God has been dealing with a couple of things, and they've had some very interesting experiences lately that is also linked to the things that I'm talking about today. And the reason I want them to talk is because then you can understand and see how it affected them and how it worked in their lives. One thing we have to understand, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is not what we want to hear. The truth is what God is actually saying about something. And even if these things don't really make sense to you, faith is not wanting everything to make sense. It is choosing to believe it because God says it. And that's just the way it is. Sometimes when we talk about these things, people can get very, very stressed and frustrated. I'll never forget. There was another young girl the last time I spoke about these things when we were in Gedult. She came forward and she says to me that now that I've spoken about these things, she's concerned about this ring that she's wearing. Because she got this ring from her grandmother and this and that and wada wada. And while she's talking and she's just standing like that, the ring jumps off of her finger. It went flying off of her finger. I looked at her, she looked at me, I said to her, I think God just answered your question. That's not normal. I had a, yes. Yes, I do. I do. Yeah, come here. Come and share quickly. Tell the people what happened. Okay. Before I get to you guys, I'm just going to let him quickly share what happened. Tell them what the situation was, where it came from, and what happened in church when we prayed.
Look, I used to wear a ring from my other sister. She passed away a couple of years ago. And one day in the church in Gdol, you actually broke this same subject out. And you touched that ring. You prayed over this. Hey, the demon jumped off. Even I got a mark today of that thing. That thing went ballistic, went mad. And that was a spirit that was sitting on that thing there.
Yeah.
It happened with me. Yeah.
It's strange but true, isn't it?
True.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Dion.
Hi, everybody. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit about the story, what has happened with an object or items that was given to us that has worked through both of us. We were sitting in the office one day and I received a call from somebody saying that there's a package has arrived for you from a career company. Obviously, me having my own business, I do bring in a lot of things, and there was an imported package I was waiting for. I went and I fetched the item. When I got there, it wasn't a package that was coming from overseas. It was three photos on canvases of me and my wife on our wedding day. I took it home. I said that day, Lizelle wasn't at the office. We went home. I said to her, there's something in the car for you. And she went and fetched it out of the car. She brought it into the house. And that day she said she didn't feel very fond or
comfortable
with the paintings. Well, it was on canvas, and my missus, she goes mad when she sees canvases. She'll if there's a big wall 6 meters, 10 meters high, she'll pull it full of canvases. And we left it there, we prayed about it, we left it, and probably the last two Sundays, when I used to come to church and I used to pray and worship, I felt very funny. I was getting nauseous. I used to feel dizzy, and as if something was closing my throat. I would go down and I would tell one of the members of the ministry, I'm not feeling well. They'll start praying for me. I'll start manifesting. Sometimes when Rian used to pray for me, I used to get a pain in my stomach, going up, basically, into my large intestine. It would happen on Sundays. It would happen on Tuesday nights. The last Sunday that I came, last week, it happened to me again. When Rian prayed for me, Stelios came to me and he said to me, he got a vision of me lighting a match. And I didn't know what it was. So I prayed about it and I asked God, he needs to reveal to me what is it that I need to burn. And on Tuesday night, we went to the service. Obviously, again, when I manifested on the floor, I would get a pain in my stomach. Thursday night, when Rian had the special meeting, we came to church. Lizelle sat next to me. She said she's not feeling well. She went to the doctor, to the toilet. She was gone a while. I don't want to tell you exactly what happens. That's her part where she's going to come in. And then, but also, when she's going to tell her part, what happened to me is that I saw with those canvases, after I burnt it, I used to have restless nights. I couldn't sleep. I used to go to bed with a headache. I would wake up with even a bigger headache. I used to pop pills like I'm a druggie on the street.
And you're always tired.
Yeah, and I was obviously what happened to me on Sundays. Whatever was, we don't know what intentions it was on those pictures, but it wouldn't allow me to praise and worship God. So obviously, and it's one thing, a person needs to, like Rian said, be careful of what we receive. We might not, even whether it comes from a family member or a friend, you don't know what intentions are in that. And I mean, the way that the gift was given to us obviously touched Lizelle because she likes canvases. So there is ways in which the devil knows how to work in something that you really favor in your heart. And yeah, I got a word. Well, Stelios told me that with a match, she'll tell the other part of the story now. And the thing is, when you get a word from God, you need to be obedient. You need to follow that word. Otherwise, if you don't follow the obedience, God can't follow you with blessings.
Amen. You're right.
Hello, everybody. Okay, as you all know, I've been struggling with my stomach a lot. For quite some time now. And every Sunday and every Tuesday, Pastor Jan will pray for me for my stomach. And I thought, what's going on? This doesn't want to get better. Something is keeping me from going to church because I don't want to go to church on Sundays, on Tuesdays. I will sit in church on a Sunday and a Tuesday and something will tell me go outside or just go and stand outside. It's like something doesn't want me to be at church. And since I received the 3 canvases my husband told you guys about, I started feeling more and more and more sick with my stomach. Sometimes I couldn't get out of bed. I felt so sick on Sundays and Tuesdays. I can't stand up at church. And I ask God, why? Why am I going through this? Am I being punished? I don't understand. And I've been praying a lot. God, please heal me. Show me what's going on. I just want to feel better because this thing inside of me is busy taking over my life. I feel sick. I can't eat. I'm busy losing weight. And then on Tuesday, I was sitting in church and I felt very bad. Very, very bad. The baddest I've ever felt. And I went into the bathroom. And I actually wanted to vomit, but nothing wanted to come out. And then I saw one of the Warriors for Christ members there, Sandra. And I was standing there talking to Sandra. And she said, what's wrong, Lizelle? And I said, I don't feel well. My stomach, I'm so tired. I don't know what's going on. It's like something is holding me back. Something wants to take over my life, my joy, my love for my husband. And we were standing there. And she said, Lizelle, and she actually started manifesting. And she said, Lizelle, I see 3 pictures that somebody give you a gift. And immediately I knew it was those 3 canvases that was given to me. Immediately I knew it wasn't given with good intentions. So that's like what my husband said, we need to be careful of stuff that's been given to us. You don't know what intentions it's given to you. I was on such strong medication for my stomach. I'm actually supposed to go into theatre on Wednesday. And God is so good to me. On Thursday night, when we came home, my husband took the stuff and he said he's going to burn it. And I said, don't burn it there because there's too much cars there. Go and burn it here. And he said, no, you don't tell me where I must burn it. And I knew immediately that's not my husband speaking. His eyes was full of anger. And I said, God, please, this is the devil. He doesn't want us to burn those stuff. Please take control. And I thought, okay, you know what? Just go and burn it wherever you feel is comfortable for you. I'm just going to stay inside of the house. And I was sitting inside of the house on my knees like this. And I prayed to God. And I said, God, please, as those stuff is busy burning, send it back to where it came from. And I felt like a warmth inside of my stomach, like something is pulled out of my stomach. And since he burned it, my stomach is healed. Fully healed. I couldn't eat. And since this day, like I told Spuggy and Mara this morning, I'm eating like a pig. Actually eating like a pig. And I'm supposed to go into theatre on Wednesday, and I'm sure that won't even be necessary, because I believe in my heart and I know God completely healed me.
Amen. Amen. Dion, just come stand here quickly. You shared something else with me that I would like us to talk about, because I think it's pertinent. There's a lot of people here waiting for something to happen. You said that you came to some of our meetings once or twice. You came when we were in Gedult, and now that we're in Springs, you remember you came. And you were given a word. Can you remember what that word was?
I'm going to go a little bit further than what Rian said.
Okay.
Before I came to Warriors for Christ, I used to go to a church with my mother-in-law. I got a word there to say, God will work big time in my life. We started attending Warriors for Christ in the Gedult. Rian gave me a word there, saying I'm a very good boy. I've got a very small heart. And that and that God will work in my life. Then from Rian, from Gedood, Rian moved to where he is now, in the same hall that we're standing here, about there where Eddie is standing. Rian gave me another word and said to me, I mustn't give up. God is going to work in my life. I must just keep staying strong. On Good Friday this year, Rian had a meeting. Well, we were invited to Rian's house. Rian gave me a word as well, saying that the God's knocking on my door. Since that day, I've got a word. My life has changed. As a lot of you can see here, my life has changed. And a lot of the problems churches go through is when people get a word, Rian can give you a word today. People expect it to happen tomorrow, in a week's time, 3 weeks' time, in a year's time. When I originally first got a word from Rian, it was in Gedood, and that was 5 years ago. My life only started changing on Good Friday this year. So you need to, obviously, once again, be obedient and have faith. Keep strong and stay. If God gives you a word, God will not take it away from you. He will deliver on His word.
Amen. Thank you. And God bless you and your lovely wife. I asked him to share that because, you know, sometimes we've received a word from God. And if it doesn't come to pass in 6 months or a year's time, there is this tendency to feel dejected. And we have this thing that, and the devil is very busy. He likes to talk to us. You know what? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. We hear the voice of God, but unfortunately we hear the voice of the wolf as well. The wolf sometimes comes to you and he says to you, you know what? You received that word. Nothing has happened yet. But when God gives you a word, he doesn't give you the full picture. He gives you one little, puzzle block in a bigger puzzle. And it is for you to pray. It is for you to persevere. It is for you to have faith. And as you walk that road, now and then he will add a couple more until you begin to see that picture. And I can't tell you if it's going to take a year or 3 years or 5 years, but one thing I liked about what he said, he received the word and today he can see that it has come to pass. There were certain things that he had to do as well in his own life. If you're sitting here and God has given you a promise, not even maybe in this church, maybe some other place, don't you give up, because that's what the devil wants. You hold on to that promise. Sometimes God gives us a word because he sees we are about to go through a lot of rubbish. And that word is like a lifeline to God. It's like a buoy that you can hold on to when the oceans get rough for you not to get pulled under. You remind God of that word. You stand on that word. And when the devil comes and says to you, it's over, you say, no, but it can't be over because God still promised me this. And you know what? That's faith. And when you start operating that way, you will begin to see things. Getting back to what I was talking about, one more testimony. I had a young man come to me many years ago. He had been involved in a homosexual relationship for about, I think at that stage, 10 years. Him and his friend had spent a fortune buying a very nice house, kitting it out with all the best of everything, and they were both art lovers. Okay, I'm going to just stop it there and tell you, when he came to me, he came because I had prayed for somebody that they knew, and God had done some wonderful things, and I think God had been busy in his life for a while. He asked to come and see me. He came to see me, and you know what, we spoke about his lifestyle choices and about how God feels about that, and he came to the place where he said to me, you know what, I don't believe that this is how I'm supposed to be, but I'm trapped in this lifestyle. But I do want to break free. I just don't know how. And I said to him, you know what? God can do that. If you really want it, and if you humble yourself before God, and if you come before God and be obedient to what God wants, I believe God can help you. I prayed with him that night. And then in the topic of discussion, I actually spoke about certain things that we might have. And he told me pretty much everything that he has was given to him by his partner, And it was very, very expensive things. We're talking about art. Some paintings were over 50,000 rand a painting. Very expensive things. And he said to me, but what must I do with it? I said to him, you know what? Here's your problem. You're making a decision today to change your life. But if you're going to go back to a place that still reminds you of your old life and is tied to the person that you were involved with in your old life, the enemy is going to keep pushing, pulling on you. Pressure. Come back. And eventually you will probably go back. There is only one way. You have to get rid of all of these things. He looked at me and he said to me, you know what? The stuff that I have is worth a fortune. Can't I sell it? I said, no. I don't believe that's what God wants you to do. I believe God wants you to break with the past. And the only way for you to break with the past is to destroy these things. It's a difficult thing to say to somebody because in the end, the value of the stuff that he burnt was over 200,000 rand. Now, within 6 months of breaking that stuff, the change in this man was remarkable. He no longer spoke in a feminine voice. His voice changed. He no longer had feminine mannerisms. He began to look like a man. He began to speak like a man. He began to act like a man. And guess what? Within 6 months, he was married to a woman. Today, as far as I know, he's got 3 kids. He doesn't live in South Africa anymore. He immigrated. Now and then, I still hear a rumor about him. He's doing very well. But like Dion, he came to a place where he said, you know what, I don't care. Even if it costs me everything that I have, I want to do the right thing and I want to honor God. And I want to tell you something, God took him seriously. God operated on him and God began to change him. The world and what the devil brought into his life changed him in one direction. God put him back to where God always wanted him to be. Today, he's a happy, married man. He's a father of children. And he's a blessing to a lot of people. Can we have rubbish in our life? Yes, we can. What do we need to do about it? Well, we need to identify it. And then we need to make a decision and say, it's time for certain things to go. I'm not going to say much more about this. Maybe next week I'll speak in a bit more detail about certain things, etc., etc. But for today, here's what I want you to know. Sometimes we do have things that we've brought into our life or was given to us as a so-called present, but the attitude of the person that gave it is not conducive to you being blessed. In their heart, they would rather see you cursed. That type of thing tends to bring a lot of bad rubbish into your life. And sometimes we have to come to a place where when God reveals to us that it's not good for us, we must let it go. You know, that ring that your grandmother had and your great-grandmother had and your mother had, and now you're wearing it very proudly because this is like the family ring. On it sits the family curse. And sometimes that's why you cannot go forward. That's why things will not happen. That's why there is no breakthrough, because we hold on to sentimental things, something that belonged to somebody else from the perspective of jewelry. Let it stay with that person. You get your own stuff. If you're sitting here and you want to get married, don't go to a pawn shop and buy a ring there. Save a bit longer. Borrow some money from somebody, but at least give your wife something brand new so that you can start it new. Don't bring other people's baggage into your relationship because the devil will bring all of those things. And you know what? It's probably going to cause a lot of frustration in the end. And maybe things might not even work out. I had a woman that I also prayed for a couple of years ago. She had a constant problem with sickness and infirmity. You name it, she got sick. And her husband asked me to go and pray for her. I went to the house, and the atmosphere in the house was very heavy. And the main reason he asked me to come and pray for her is because she also felt that she was attacked by a spirit at night. I went to the house. She was actually in bed because she was sick. I asked her about what happened. To make a long story short, asked a couple of questions, and she was wearing one specific ring that it was like my eyes kept pulling towards that ring. And I asked her, I said, what is that ring and where did you get it? She says, oh, that was my grandmother's ring. I said, tell me a bit about your grandmother. Oh, she was a wonderful person, blah, 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 blah. How was her health? Oh, she was always sick. You see, here's the thing. The grandmother was always sick. She's wearing the grandmother's ring. She's always sick. I say, what was the type of things your grandmother battled with? She named them. Doof, 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 doof. I said to her, did you listen to what you just said? Those are all the things that you battle with. Oh, I never thought about it like that. I said to her, you know what? Probably it doesn't matter how the curse came upon. Somehow the enemy had power in your grandmother's life, and through the ring it's now transferred into your life. And then it was like I'd ruined the friendship, because now I'm telling her that her grandmother's ring is not good for her. Well, you know what? I can't force nobody to do nothing. Only God can do it. But I gave her this scriptures. And I said to her, what you're going to do is up to you. But I think the writing is on the wall and the evidence is clear. You have inherited your grandmother's curse. And until you do not let go of that ring, nothing is going. We can pray for you till you're blue in the face, because the ring is defiling you. God said, the silver and the gold, do not take it for yourselves, because it is cursed. Sometimes silver and gold is cursed because you don't know what the person wearing that ring before you, or the earrings or the necklace or whatever, did. And when you receive it, you receive the curse, normally the family curse, because that's the type of stuff that gets passed on. She and her husband spoke about it, and then she decided that, I actually want to say reluctantly decided that it's time for it to go. And can I tell you what happened? Same thing that happened with the previous man that I shared of. When she tried to take the ring off, the moment she tried to pull the ring off, she began to manifest. The demon in her surfaced and went mad. Well, me and her husband eventually managed to get the ring off, and I made her renounce it. And can I tell you what happened? The symptoms disappeared. God removed the curse. Okay, so what do I want you to do now? Now, I'm not telling you to go home and start burning everything in your house, because people get a bit stressed and worried. Next week, probably I'll talk a bit more about certain specific things. But what I do want you to know is sometimes people give things to us with really bad motives, and that can cause a lot of damage. Let's say somebody tells you, your marriage is not good, your wife is not good for you, this is never going to work. Yet they come and visit and they come bearing gifts. Let's say like a painting of you and your wife, or a nice photo frame for you to put the picture of you and your wife in. They're already cursing you with your mouth. Why would they be blessing you with a gift? The gift has the same thing attached to it as what they have in their heart towards you. They curse you with their mouth, they're going to curse you with the gift. Now you take the gift, you put it on the mantelpiece, and you show everybody, oh, look at how nice this is, and the devil is laughing because you accept it. That's like a Trojan horse. It uses that to come into the house, and through that, it touches. It touches. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.